The gospel for today highlights a woman's faith. It is amazing faith. It's remarkable faith. Jesus called it great faith. And this is the kind of faith that you and I want and need, particularly when we or our loved ones are going through tough times. So let's take a closer look at this woman. She is not a Jew like Jesus. She's a foreigner to Jesus. What the Jews call, she's a Gentile. She's a Gentile. Jesus and his disciples have walked about 100 miles, 160 kilometers northwest of Galilee, where Jesus came from, to the cities of Tyre and Sidon. They're coastal cities on the Mediterranean shore. In the past, there had been some sort of political connection between the rulers of this region and the kings of Israel. You might recall that the infamous Queen Jezebel came from this region. Now, Jezebel is infamous because she married King Ahab and she introduced idol worship, pagan idol worship, into Israel. So with that kind of background, wasn't a really good introduction, a really good recommendation as she comes to Jesus. As well as that, she's called a Canaanite. Now, the Canaanites were the people who inhabited the land before the Israelites entered the land and took it over. Joshua's army attacked and drove them out of the land, and some of them went north, and this woman is a descendant of some of those former enemies of Israel. Okay. When she hears that Jesus arrived, she comes to him. And later we hear that she falls down before him. She pleads for her daughter, "Lord, son of David, my daughter's suffering terribly from demon possession." Now, this woman already has a few things against her. She's a foreigner. She's a pagan, as far as Jesus knows. She's a traditional enemy of the Jews. And she's got a demon-possessed daughter. So in Jewish eyes, she's unclean in a whole lot of ways. But the way she speaks to Jesus is highly significant. She calls him Son of David. Now, Son of David is a messianic title. She believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Savior King of Israel. And she expresses her faith by kneeling before him, as I said, and asking for his mercy and help. What is surprising is the way Jesus reacts to her, responds to her. He doesn't respond in the way we expect him to. At this occasion, he's not the tender shepherd. He's not the compassionate healer. He's not the friend of sinners. Instead, he comes across almost as cruel and hard-hearted. He simply says nothing to her. He ignores her as if she's not there. Bad as this is just the beginning of it. The disciples then come to Jesus and say, look, get rid of her. Send her away. She's bothering us. She's embarrassing us. She's following us and asking us to do something for her daughter. And then Jesus says to them, to the disciples, that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, since she's not from Israel, this sounds like a clear rejection of her. After Jesus' resurrection, he sends out his disciples with the Great Commission. Go to all nations, baptizing them, make disciples of all nations. But during his earthly ministry, Jesus' ministry is almost exclusively to his own people, to Jews, to people of Israel. So, she's ignored and she's rejected, but the worst is yet to come. The woman falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Lord, help me," or "Lord, have mercy." In Greek, it is Kyrie eleison, as we heard before. These are the same words that we use quite frequently when we have a traditional liturgy, we have Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Her plea is heartfelt. It tugs at our heartstrings. You can sense her desperation, poor woman. And that's why we find Jesus' reply so shocking. He says to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Here Jesus calls the Jews, the people of Israel, God's children. They belong in God's house. They sit at God's table. They are God's family. And at the same time, she implies that people who are not Jews are like dogs. Now, if you like dogs, I suppose as most of you do, at a bit of a stretch, that could be a compliment. But Jewish people regarded dogs as dirty animals, as unclean animals. Unclean because they sometimes ate dead creatures, dead carcasses. So to be referred to a dog at that time and in that place was not a compliment. It sounded like an insult. Today we would call it even a racial slur. And this is the third knockback that this woman has received. Now at this point you expect her to insult Jesus in return, and storm off and say, well, I'm never having anything to do with you again or any of your followers again. And I know people who've done that. Perhaps you do too. People who've thrown away their faith in anger when God didn't answer their prayers or when something went wrong in their lives. And refuse to listen to any Christian message or go to any Christian gathering from that point on. What is amazing about this woman is that she doesn't do that. She keeps on. She persists. She even argues with Jesus. She argues just like Moses did when Moses was on the mountain with God and they look down and they see that the people of Israel have made a golden calf and are worshipping now that golden calf, breaking the very first of the Ten Commandments. And God says, I am furious with these people. I'm going to destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, I'll make you into a great nation. And then Moses says to the Lord, why should your anger burn against your people whom you have brought out of Egypt? Why should the Egyptians say, it is with evil intent that he brought them out to destroy them in the desert? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promise you made to them to make their descendants as numerous as the stars and give this land to them. Notice how Moses tells the Lord to live up to his promise, to keep his word, and to be true to his character. Now, we also find the same kind of faith in the Psalms. There, again and again, we hear believers reminding God of his promises, calling on God to be true to his word and true to his character. And this is just what this foreign woman does. Luther says that she uses Jesus' own words to catch him out. When Jesus implies that she's like a dog, she replies, yes, Lord. But even the dogs, even the little puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In other words, she says, I am a dog. It's true. I couldn't agree more. Just give me what dogs are entitled to. Give me some crumbs that fall from your table. What faith this woman has in the face of Jesus' apparent no to her plea, she still clings in faith to him. She still trusts him as the Messiah. She believes that God has sent him not only to bless the people of Israel, but to bless all the people of the world, including her and her sick daughter. God's love is bigger than Israel. And that is why Jesus calls her faith great. Great faith, because she believed, despite all the things that she's got against her, her foreignness, her pagan background, her history, her demon-possessed daughter, her uncleanness, despite all that, God's love is so big that there's room for her and her sick daughter in that love. And it's great faith because even though when Jesus' answer seems to be no, she keeps on praying to him. Now, like this woman, you and I can't go through life without having disappointment, pain, hardship, and grief. At times like this, God can seem to put all your sins and mistakes and foolishness in front of you, or your conscience can put all your sins and mistakes and foolishness in front of you, and Jesus can seem to turn his back on you. If this happens to you, do what this woman did. Keep on coming to the Lord in prayer. Keep on pleading for his help. Cling to Christ. Cling to the good news of grace, that Jesus was born for you, that he died on the cross for you, that he rose again for you. Keep on trusting in his mercy and his grace. Through her faith, the Canaanite woman got more than a few crumbs. She got healing for her daughter. She got a place at the table. She was taken into the family of God. And through your faith in Jesus too, you are part of God's family. And you can feast at God's table now and look forward to feasting at God's table forever. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the height and depth and breadth of your amazing love. Big enough for us and big enough for everybody in the world. Put your love into our hearts so that we can act like you and love other people just like you. In Jesus' name we pray.